Well, we are starting this new series entitled Gifted, and in the coming days we'll look at something we call spiritual gifts. And so, but I want you to know this: if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to say a couple of things about you, or maybe even one in a question, and that is this: if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been given a gift. But you need to ask yourself, are you gifted? You've been given a gift as a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you can listen in today and go, hey, this can be my life. You have been given a gift, but you need to ask yourself the question, am I gifted? Because the reality is that what we're going to see in the coming weeks, and we know that Scripture teaches us, is that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been given a spiritual gift. And we define a spiritual gift this way, so it'll be on the screen. A spiritual gift is a special ability given by God to every believer. In other words, you didn't get left out. You know, we want a poor mouth sometimes and go, well, I didn't get one. You're calling God a liar if you say that. It's a spiritual, a special ability given by God to every believer to serve others. And we're going to be able to add to that definition today, and you can do dot, dot, dot for God's glory. And so if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, guess what? You've been given a spiritual gift, and we're going to talk about those. We're going to talk about the list. As a matter of fact, I'm even going to print them and hand them out. But what you need to ask yourself today is, are you gifted? Because the word gifted means this. It means revealing a special gift. There are a lot of people in the room today that have been given a gift, but you're not very gifted. Gifted means you're revealing a special gift. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I love watching gifted people do what they do. In any field of life. Matter of fact, Jill and I, one of the things that we talk about a lot, and I say this about people all the time that I run into, in every phase of life, man, that's a gifted person. Remember, we watch people online. Matter of fact, and you're gonna see how diverse I am. We watch a guy who's a florist. I said it. I wasn't gonna say it, but I said it. We do watch this guy online who's a florist, and I say about him, as much as I say about anybody, that dude is gifted. Now, I'm not going to tell you. Don't ask me who it is, and I'm not telling you, and I'm not telling you where he's at, but he's close by. You can drive and see him. But I watch him all the time. Joel will be watching. I'm not going to say his name because you can go, but I can hear his voice. I'm going, are you watching? And I have to watch. He's gifted. And I love it because he does things, and he does it like everybody can do it. He's like, now everybody can do this, and I'm thinking, no, they can't. No, they can't. And you know, it's like when you watch, I love watching building shows to show you I'm very masculine as well. But I said there's some people over here that were giving me an eyeball. But I love watching people who build things, I'm thinking, because they build like everybody ought to be able to do that, and they can't. They can't. I love it. And I always say about them, they're gifted. I was in a room the other day with a guy who's known all over the world, and I was privy to a conversation with him with about 25 other people, and I walked out, and when I'm walking back to the bus that carried us to this meeting with him, I looked at the guy with me, my friends, and said, that's one gifted dude. He's in the legal world. That is one gifted dude. Here's the question, though. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been given a gift, but the question is are you gifted? Are you revealing that gift? I'm afraid that most of us, you just have to kind of look at yourself, are kind of like my pencil I brought with me today. If you've been around here a minute, you know this is my Dallas Cowboy pencil. Thank you. Some of you are going, what? This is my Dallas Cowboy pencil. I'm about to be 57 years old later this year. I've had this since I was 9. I've carried it with me for 49 years. Now, when I was in the third grade, I got a collection of NFL team pencils. And because I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, I set out going, I'm never going to use that one because I want to hold on to it, right? And so I just held on to it, and I held on to it, and I held on to it. And I've lost all kinds of things in my life. I've lost cell phones and wallets and wedding rings, though I find them. Matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, I found the keys to my truck that I lost 3 years ago. I pulled out a jacket that I wore 3 years ago to the last football game I went with Hoover High School when I worked with them, and I put it, and evidently I had it, and when I got that back out 3 years ago, and I was, there's my keys. And I lose all kinds of things, but I've had this pencil. I've never lost this pencil. When I said, I'm gonna tell y'all about my Dallas Cowboy pencil, you know where I went? I went straight to my truck console, because I carry it with me everywhere I go. Don't look at me weird. And pulled it right out of my truck console. This is a pencil. A pencil is defined as an instrument used for drawing, writing, and marking. With this pencil, when it's in the right hands, it can do all kinds of things. It can write an encouraging note. It can draw the plans to a house. It can mark drawings to build something. Or you can put it in your truck console and carry it around for 50 years. This is a picture of most followers of Jesus Christ. You've been given a gift, but you're not very gifted. I mean, that's what I think about my life. So that's what you say, why are you carrying around? Because of this. That's why I carry around. Because I look at that gift and go, don't ever be a person who's been given a gift, but it's not very gifted. The guy that made this pencil fit, this, I can't say it, pencil, this writing instrument 50 years ago, he did not write it going, you know what? Some dude is going to carry this around in his truck for decades. And he's going to talk about it in church one day. No, that's not why they made the pencil. And God didn't give you a gift for you not to be gifted. He intended for that to be revealed. So it leads us to the question today, as we're going to talk about, why did God make you? You're all living. You're all breathing. I mean, so what's your purpose here? What are you doing on this planet? I can tell you that he's got you here to be gifted, to reveal what he's given you. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 reminds us, if you ever wonder what your purpose is, it says in verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And there is your purpose. That's why you have a pencil. That's why you've been given a gift. Now, that's a big phrase, the glory of God. Now, what is that? Well, if you look at it in the Greek, it means to, it really literally means to think. In other words, it means to give a proper opinion or estimate of something. In other words, that when you and I live our life, we ought to give a proper estimate of our Heavenly Father. The glory of God is the sum of all of God's characteristics. If we went around the room today and we had time and go, hey, tell me one thing you think of when you think about God, when you think about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, then there'd be all kinds of things we'd say, kindness and mercy and love and faithfulness and justice and all these different things. The glory of God, he's simply telling us, is when we express those things and people look at something that is expressed and say, that's God. And so it's your purpose and my purpose is to live in such a way that we glorify or we put the characteristics of God on show. That's what the glory of God means, and that's why you're here. Now, the purpose of God for your life is not a role. And this is where we get mixed up sometimes. Somebody says, well, I just need to find my role. No, that's not your purpose. I see this happen all the time. You guys probably see it too. I see people who have a role. Matter of fact, even at this church, I bumped into a guy the other day who had a role here. He served in a capacity here and did it very well for many, many, many years. And through time, he just stopped serving in that role and kind of got to a season of life that he didn't serve in that role anymore. And I hadn't seen him in 7 years. And this morning, he's sitting at home on his couch. You know why? Because he identified his purpose in life with a role. I may not show up next week. If my role here is over, my purpose doesn't change. Not one bit. This is simply the avenue that God has put me today to glorify him. Where you are tomorrow is simply a role that he's given you for that day to glorify him. If that role goes away, you're not a student anymore. You don't work in that place anymore. You retire, whatever it is. Your purpose hasn't changed one bit. But sometimes we think that our purpose is a role that we serve in or that we're involved in. No. Your purpose is to glorify God. I mean, all through Scripture, we're reminded of this. In Colossians chapter 1, this will be really good for tomorrow and the solar eclipse. It says in verse 15, it says, the sun is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, that's you and me, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him, and underline this part, and what? For him. For him. For his glory. You've been created for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In other words, if things are out of sync today in your life, it's because you've missed your purpose. So tomorrow, the world, or a part of the world, is going to talk about a solar eclipse. And so I don't know if it's going to be clear enough for us to see it. I don't know if you're planning on watching it. But tomorrow, if you get to see it, or you hear the people talk about it, realize that tomorrow, that the moon is going to cast a shadow on the earth. And I want you to consider this, that the sun that is going to be behind the moon is 390 times larger than the moon. Think about that. The sun is 390 times larger than the moon. It's also 390 times further than the moon is from the earth. And tomorrow, as it happens, and they'll know exactly what time it's going to happen to the second, they're going to line up. And many people go, wow, what a coincidence. Tomorrow should remind you that all things are created for the glory of God. Tomorrow will demonstrate the power of God. And it ought to remind you, I have a purpose. I'm supposed to watch it with some middle schoolers at Bumpus Middle School. I might preach a little bit at Bumpus Middle School tomorrow. Because all I got to say is that reminds me of why I'm on this planet. I've been given a gift, but the question is am I gifted? Am I displaying in my life the characteristics of God, the power of God, the character of God? So why are you here? All through Scripture, it talks about that. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to talk about this later on when we talk about what spiritual gift you've been given. He talks about it. He says, each of you, and you didn't get left out. So have you ever been with those people? Let's just have confession time. Have you been with those people that have ever said as a Christian, well, I just don't feel like I'm very gifted? Liar, liar, pants on fire. I mean, Scripture tells us each of you should use whatever gift you have received, because you've been given a gift, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, displaying the characteristics of God. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So all through Scripture, it's building this picture. It's developing this picture that you have a purpose. You've been given a gift, but are you gifted? See, there's a lot of people come to a place like this, and I'll be honest with you, I think this has gotten way too easy. I was telling someone the other day that, you know, what we do here is a well-oiled machine. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, we got 57 minutes. You know exactly how long I'm going to preach. Some of you got me on a clock right now. I'm not preaching 57 minutes. The whole thing's going to last 57 minutes. Some of you are going, oh, Lord, he's going long today. So, my son and his friends used to time me. But what happens is we kind of get in a routine, in a habit, in a ritual. And God says, I've given you something to reflect me. You know, when you look at it in Scripture, you read through the book of Romans, that there are what they call four therefores in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 2, verse 1, it says there's the therefore, it literally says this, of condemnation. In other words, that we're sinners, we are condemned before God. Then in verse 1 of chapter 5, there is the therefore of justification. In other words, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, God looks at you just as if you had never sinned. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is the therefore of no condemnation. In other words, for those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about condemnation. You don't need to be walking around with guilt. You don't need to walk around with unforgiveness in your life. And then it says this in chapter 12. Therefore, in light of you're not condemned anymore, therefore, because you're justified before God, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And so as you think about your purpose, he says, if you'll just think that, hey, you're not condemned anymore, you're justified. He says your response ought to be to offer your entire bodies. You know what that means? It means your entire being. And so you begin to ask yourself, with my time, do I glorify God? With my money, do I glorify God? With the influence, and everybody's got influence. I've got influence. And so I have to ask myself, with the influence that I have and the role that I have, do I do it for the glory of God? Do I do it for myself? I've got a job. You got a job. You go to school. Do you go to school for the glory of God? Do you work for the glory of God? You have relationships. Is that for the glory of God? I'm involved in certain things. What's it for? But when he says, hey, in light of what God has done, in light of why you're on this planet, offer your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. Now, when you read sacrifice, we ain't killed anything in here in a long time. Never. I tell you, it's been a long time. But when you think about sacrifice, you think of what? Dead things. The problem with a living sacrifice is today, guess what? You can go, you know what? He's right. I've got a purpose. I want to glorify God. I want to live as a gifted person. Guess what? You got to do it all over again tomorrow, because dead things can't get off the altar, but things that are living can. And so today you go, man, I'm living for the glory of God. Guess what? Tomorrow you got to get up every day and go, therefore, in light of what he's done for me, I'm going to offer everything that's in my life, every opportunity today, all the time of today, for the glory of God. Otherwise, you will get up off of that altar, and you will be a pencil. And you'll be just like this eraser. This eraser is as hard as cement. You'll be petrified. But he says, listen, you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then he says this, this is your true and proper worship. And what he's basically telling, he says, in light of what God has done for you, this is the true and proper thing to do in light of your purpose. This is your response. True literally means, in the Greek language, it means logical. So if you are a person who, some of you go, I'm a very logical person, to go, listen, in light of God has given me a gift and he wants me to be gifted and he saved me through Jesus Christ, the logical thing to do for me would be to worship him. In other words, respond to him in the way that he wants me to respond to him. Your parents ever tell you, it's just the right thing to do? Y'all grow up hearing that? It's just the right thing to do. And some of us got really smart and go, well, what's right for you may not be right for me. We didn't say that where they could hear us, but that's what we were thinking, right? I mean, what's right for you may not be right for me. And so you kind of think that. Listen, what he's simply saying, as a follower of Jesus Christ, when you look in God's word, he's saying, this is right for you. There's no exception. Just like every one of you have been given a gift, this is right for everybody in here. You don't get to opt out of it. He says this is the true and proper things to do. And he says that we offer. In other words, it's your choice. You can be the pencil, or you can live a life as a gifted person. It's your choice. I mean, Jesus even told us how to do it. In Mark chapter 12, they're asking Jesus, what's the most important thing? So one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Notice that Jesus had given them a good answer, and he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? In other words, what are we supposed to be doing here? Why am I on this planet? Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. He says, when you understand that you've been given a gift, then you begin to love the Lord and respond to him and worship with him. You're not just singing a song. You came to worship today, right? This is just a hiccup, a blimp on the screen of your life. It's important, but this is not all there is. Jesus says we are to love him passionately. He says, love me with your heart. What are you passionate about? I love people when they talk about worship. People say, well, I don't really sing. I'm not into the God stuff. You can find out what everybody's into, right? I mean, we can go out here in the lobby. Some of y'all, you can take the guy that doesn't say anything about anything and just stay around for 10 minutes. You'll find out what they're about. They start talking about hunting or fishing. Start talking about the Masters that's going to be played next week. So you find out what you're passionate about. And so Jesus says, I want you to love me with that kind of passion. The passion that you display, I want you to display that toward me. He says, I want you to love me with your mind and your soul. In other words, not only do you love me passionately, I want you to love me with your attention, the way you think. In other words, don't go through the motions. This is not a ritual. This is not a routine. This is not a habit. But boy, is it dangerous to walk in a place like this, sit in the same place. You know how long it's going to last. You know what I'm going to say. You know I'm going to stand on the edge. You want me to know if I'm going to fall off. No. And you turn around and walk out, and you come back and do it again next week. And it'll last 57 minutes next week. If you're not careful, this will be a snapshot of your life. This will become a routine. It'll be something you just carry around that you do for the rest of your life. And some of you have been sitting in this place for 50 years. And what you have to ask yourself is, I've been given a gift, but am I gifted? Jesus said, I want you to love me with your heart, with your mind and your soul. I want you to love me with your strength. I want there to be action with your abilities, with the gift I've given you. So what? How do you answer the question, why am I here? The challenge of this is not to compartmentalize your life. How many of you in your mind, let's be honest for a minute, how many of you thought to yourself, I'm coming today to worship? Of course, that's what you thought. Do you think it ends in just a moment? And tomorrow you, what? You don't go work to worship, do you? You go to what? To work. And tomorrow you don't go to worship, do you? Go to school. And then tomorrow night you don't go to worship, do you? You go to the ballpark. Tomorrow afternoon, you don't go to worship. You take your kids to dance. And what he's trying to tell us is that we don't compartmentalize our lives. We don't walk around asking the question, I don't think, hey, what is God's will for my life? You ever ask that? I mean, what is God's will for my life? That's the wrong question to ask today. The question you want to start with today is simply, what is God's will? Because a lot of times, you know what? We sit around going, I just don't know what God's will for my life is, and I can't figure it out, and I don't know what he wants me to do. And we end up like this. We become an illustration of what might have been. We become an illustration of the best that never was. The question today is, what is God's will? And what is God's will is not a mystery. It's interesting. Today I was driving in today. This preacher came on the radio, and that's usually a sign for me to change the station. But I left it on there. And you know what he said? You know what the sermon was about? God's will. And there's no mystery to God's will. That God says, listen, I sent my son Jesus Christ for you, that your sins might be forgiven, that you might live a life of forgiven, to get rid of the guilt, and let's, guess what? To have a purpose on this planet and a place in heaven. And so he's given you a spiritual gift, a special ability that he decided which one you were going to get. And he wants you to use this to serve other people for his glory. He wants you to get up every day and say, in light of what God has done to me, today I worship. Because worship is simply a response. And I'm going to use what God has given me for his glory. And I'm not going to school tomorrow, but you will attend. And I'm not going to work tomorrow, though you will go there. I'm not just going to practice tomorrow night. I'm not just going to this appointment. I am going to worship. I'm going to use what God has given me to show the world who He is. You think, Jeff, did you make that up? I knew you would think that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, and we're finished, "You are the light of the world." He didn't say in a particular place, "You're the light of the world." Wherever you are, you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In other words, tomorrow, wherever you go, God is strategically placing you. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds, the characteristics of God, and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, live a gifted life. When things go wrong tomorrow, respond in kindness and forgiveness and love, and it'll be a miracle of God wherever you work. When someone goes negative, you go positive. It'll be a miracle of God wherever you are tomorrow. When somebody wants to run everything in the ground, you lift Jesus up. It'll be a miracle of God wherever you are tomorrow. And eventually, people will connect the dots back to not, "You're just different." They'll connect the dots back to the Heavenly Father. So, why are you here? Don't end up like this. Let's pray together.